Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you, O Lord, my God. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. A very good morning, everyone, and I want to wish everyone a very blessed Christmas ahead. We are in the Christmas season, Christmas week, actually. My friends, are you looking for a hero? I remember in my younger days, when life was tough, I was looking for a role model in real life, but I didn't have one. So what I did was I watched shows on TV and took comfort in them. Because it was like a different world, you know, television, full of action and amazing heroes. My favorite shows then, some of you might be able to identify, television those days didn't come with color, it was black and white. And my favorite shows those days were The $6 Million Man, if you know, and The Incredible Hulk, not the current Avengers one, but the old Incredible Hulk. And any shows that had a hero beating up bad guys and defending and rescuing the defenseless, these were my favorite shows. And then in my early teenage years, there was the wrestling season, the wrestling event, right? And my heroes were, of course, Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warriors, if you like. I enjoyed watching this. I enjoyed watching them beat up the bad wrestlers. You know, they had this show set up. And then there are the movies. I have to admit, I never really enjoyed Tamil movies myself. But the premise of Tamil movies in those days were almost always about a poor, beaten, and downtrodden group of people or villagers who were holding out for a hero to rescue them from their oppressors. They wanted deliverance. The world was, is, and still is waiting for a hero. A hero to come and rescue them from their situation, to meet the deep needs of their hearts. But what I saw in the movies or the wrestling events were all a show. They were all fictitious, all made up. None of them were real heroes. Take them out of the wrestling ring, take them out of the movies, and they're no longer heroes, just normal human beings like you and me. But later on in my teenage years, I encountered a real hero, someone to save me from my wretched state, someone to save me from the darkness that I was caught up in, someone to save me from the suffering that I was experiencing. And we all know that the ultimate hero who came to rescue the world came 2,000 years ago, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, the Messiah. There are many Old Testament prophecies about the coming Messiah. For example, as we just read earlier, Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to 5. Or in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. I'll read for you while it's on the screen. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The Old Testament is full of prophecies about the Messiah. And what is that prophecy? That he is coming. At the end of the Old Testament, there were about 400 silent years before Jesus Christ was born. During this time period, many people had probably given up waiting. They may have gotten used to not hearing from God. They may have lost all expectations of God hearing them and answering them. Maybe you and I have had times where God seems unresponsive, that you have even wondered, what's going on? Where is God in all this? Why am I still believing? Do I even matter to God? Do I really matter to God anymore? Now let us backtrack a little from today's gospel reading. I'm sure we will all be able to identify with the story. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Here, the gospel writer, Luke, he introduces us to Elizabeth and Zechariah. He says that they were righteous and faithful, even though God seemed silent and distant. They had been praying for children, and yet God hadn't answered their prayers. Sometimes when God does not answer our prayers immediately, we do go through a season of doubting God. Oh, where is God in all this? Why isn't He answering my prayers? Does He even care? But you know, even in the most challenging of times, we can always turn to Him and trust Him. Even when doubt tries to envelop you, you can trust Him. Because in Him, we always have hope. Luke chapter 1, verse 8 to 13a. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." What we are seeing here is an amazing supernatural event taking place. For 400 years, there had been no prophecies, dreams, visions, angels, no heavenly experiences or encounters with God. The people may have given up hope of being saved or even rescued. But here, suddenly, Zechariah hears the voice of God. And when he hears this voice, Zechariah quite naturally was afraid. Because Zechariah or the people at that time had never heard God's voice. The angel said, "Your prayer has been heard." And I believe this is true for all of us who have been praying, right? God hears our prayers. I'm sure I can say to those who have been praying according to God's will, "My friends, your prayer has been heard." But sometimes, do we doubt our own prayers and are shocked when God answers? Let me share a personal testimony with you. Some of you may have already heard this. I may have shared this in other sermons or some other places. So this happened when I was in Bible school. And for those who know, Bible school students are very poor. I was married with three young children then, and I was given only a monthly allowance, which I was very grateful for, even though it was much lesser than the salary I was earning. So finances naturally was very tight. At that time, I wanted a software that would help me in my course and also in my sermon and lessons preparation. But it cost $800 for the basic package. And $800 at that time was big money for a Bible school student. So here I am sitting on my bed with my laptop, and I uttered these words. I wasn't actually praying, but I just uttered these words, and I looked to the Lord and I said, "How I wish someone would give me $1,000, right? And then I sighed, and then I answered myself, "Nah, who will give $1,000 these days, right? If possible, someone will take $1,000 away from me." And so I left it. I just gave it up. And you know, about 10 days later, Bishop Rennis, who was the Dyson Bishop at the time, who was also the acting vicar of my church then, told me that the Indian board was giving a one-time love gift to Indian Anglican students studying at Trinity Theological College. So I was one of them. And that love gift was $1,200. I was shocked. It took me some time to realize God heard my prayer, even though I was casual about it and never really believed it would happen. How foolish, right? And He answered me with more than I had asked for. Even though I was casual about it, God understood my need. He took me seriously. He knows and understands what we need. Zechariah 1, verses 18 to 20. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." Zechariah must have felt that it was great, you know, that God heard my prayers. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. But he may also have felt that it was a little too late for God to answer his prayers. Because you know why? He and his wife Elizabeth were in old age. His wife Elizabeth was beyond childbearing age. It was impossible. He prayed, but he couldn't believe that God will answer his prayers. He couldn't believe that God will answer. He thought it was impossible for God to do this. For a moment, just like me at that time, I guess he did not realize whom he was talking to. Are we also like that at times? We ask God for something in prayer, and when it doesn't happen according to our plan or our timing, we give up or even doubt. We live in an instant generation, right? Everything has to be instant. Everything has to be now. We get impatient when the food we ordered is slightly delayed, our delivery is delayed. We want things to be done now. I used to work in an organization where my boss was quite a hard man. And when you ask him for a deadline, he'll always say, yesterday. When do you want it done? I want it done yesterday. It was like that. So we live in an instant generation. No time to wait. My friends, let me remind you that God answers our prayers according to his plans and his time. He knows what and when. God has perfect timing. So when you pray, remember whom you are praying to. So this incident, however, was just a trailer to the main picture. Luke chapter 1, verses 26, 27, and 30 to 33 reads, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Here, my friends, is the fulfillment of the promise. The Messiah God promised is coming. His name will be Jesus. God is sending his Son to save us from the darkness, from this wretched world that we have been trapped in. So my friends, we need not hold out for a hero anymore, because God has sent that hero. He is here and he is near, and he is God's promise fulfilled. But let me close with this illustration, a personal testimony, another personal testimony. So I'm currently renovating my apartment. So looking for a temporary accommodation for my family of five, we found a place at my alma mater, Trinity Theological College. There was no precedent to renting out that particular apartment, but my request was accommodated. I was asked if I would consider a love gift contribution of $2,000 to stay there for a month, which was right and reasonable, but still a huge amount for us. But without hesitation, I agreed. I didn't think twice. And I did not agree out of desperation because I needed a place to stay. So it was not out of desperation. I agreed confidently because of what happened about 3 weeks prior to that. A friend of ours reminded us that though we had saved up and budgeted for that renovation, there was this rental cost that still needs to be paid. And she was moved for some reason, I guess. And she gave us a love gift towards that rental to the exact amount of $2,000. You see, we didn't know we will rent where we did. And the sister did not know exactly how much the rent would cost. But I believe the Lord knew ahead and planned this event even when we did not know we needed it. God knows ahead and has planned everything to precision. Even when we did not expect certain things, God knew and God knows ahead and he knows how to meet that need. Even in this pandemic, when it seems that God is silent, he's already working on it as he knew ahead this time would come. We may be wondering what 2022 will bring. What will happen? But we need not worry because God has already planned his response. God knew from the beginning, upon the fall of man, that mankind will need a savior. He planned the solution from the beginning. He had already worked it out. But why did God persevere with humanity, with the many failings of the chosen people of God? They rejected him again and again, turned to idol worship. They sinned again and again. They doubted him. They were unfaithful to him. I can go on with the list, and so can you. So why did God persevere with mankind? Why was God so patient? I believe he persevered because he had already worked out a solution for mankind in his son Jesus Christ. When the people of God did not hear from him for 400 years, they had gotten used to it. They forgot God's promise. They could not wait upon him. They wanted an instant answer, an immediate response. They didn't trust him enough to wait for an answer. But God had a reason to wait. He was not going to answer man on their timing, but on his own perfect timing. So how do we respond to all this, knowing that he will meet all our needs and he has met our need for salvation? How do we respond to all this? At last Wednesday's staff meeting held on-site at Cathedral, and of course within the permitted regulations, a survey was done among the staff using an online app. The question was, if you can just have it on the screen, yes. The question was, describe one or more of God's being or character that has been particularly significant in your life or ministry in 2021. So this was the question posed to all the staff gathered there. So when a staff keyed in a description on their handphone, it would appear on the screen. When the results came in, I was not surprised. And I assumed that the character most described by the staff about God would appear in the center. Next screen, yes. And that description is faithful. That is, God is faithful. He is faithful to us. He is faithful to his word of promising us a savior, a redeemer. Even in the midst of human unfaithfulness, God remained faithful to us and his word. If he has promised us, he will keep his promise. He knows what we need. He knew we needed a savior. He knows we need answers to our prayers. He is faithful to meet all our needs. So how do we respond? In faithfulness. So will we choose to be faithful to him at all times and in all circumstances? Even when we don't hear from him, and of course I hope it won't be 400 years, will we still be faithful to him? Even when our prayers are not answered immediately, will we still be faithful? God has always been faithful, especially in the coming year, 2022. We don't know what is ahead. We don't know what our experiences will be, what our challenges will be. But whatever it may be, whatever the circumstances be, will we always respond in faithfulness to God? And that is what I would like to leave with you, my friends. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that you have always have been faithful and still are faithful, Lord. In the midst of our own struggle, in our own doubt, our own weaknesses, you have always remained faithful. Never let us down, never forsake us, Lord. And we thank you. We are so grateful, O God, for that. And Father, we ask that may we also respond in faithfulness, trusting in you, knowing that you will meet all of our needs in your perfect time, O Father God. As we wait upon you for our answers to our prayers, help us to wait in faithfulness. And even the coming year, 2022, Father God, help us to go through that year faithfully trusting in you, submitting ourselves to you, holding on to you, Father God, and living in great expectation that you will see us through. Help us, O God, to respond in faithfulness. In Jesus' most wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen.